Hi, I'm Mary Harrell from Mater Dei Radio. Well, pull out your notebooks again and a ballpoint pen because school is not out for the summer, at least not for us here at Catholic Apologetic School. Catholic Answers apologist Carlu Broussard is back to take us step by step through his new book called Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlu's book takes a great many objections to the faith that we hear all the time in culture today, and God bless him, he's explaining it all to me, and Philosophy 101 made my eyes cross in college. So, Carlu, thank you for taking pity on me and coming back on.
You are welcome, Mary. It's my pleasure. It's always a joy to be on with you.
So, Carlu, we're picking up today where we left off last week on preparing the way for truth. And we're going to start with an objection that just, it really hurts because we hear it all the time today. It's so relevant for right now. It is this. How can I believe in truth when it's intolerant to say someone is wrong?
Oof. That's right. Yes, we get slapped with the label of intolerance, right?
Yep.
And we're just such mean-spirited individuals for claiming to have the truth. So this is indeed, Mary, a major obstacle that people face. Like, for example, in the video entitled College Kids Say the Darndest Things, put out by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, the executive director, Joseph Backholm, went to the University of Washington, interviewed 8 students, asking them a series of questions that led to him hypothetically identifying as a 6'5 Chinese woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point is that one of the gals in the video, she responds to when he asked the question, what would you say? You know, basically she concedes to whatever he wants to identify as, because here is her reasoning. Quote, I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries, close quote. So there's this hesitancy. People are hesitant and sort of withholding from embracing objective truth out of fear of saying someone's wrong. Why? Because they think that to do that, you're being intolerant. And this idea of to claim to have the truth means you're a bad guy is actually embedded in pop culture movies, Mary. For example, in episode 3 of Star Wars, I'm going to crack out Star Wars here for you, right? For any Star Wars fans out there listening, I'm not one, by the way, but I
found this interesting. Keep that to yourself. Keep that truth to yourself, Carlu.
I'm going to be getting the emails right now. I enjoy them. I watch them, but I think Marvel comic movies are better. Anyway.
Oh, mercy. Don't go there.
Okay. So in Revenge of the Sith, Anakin tells Obi-Wan Kenobi, he says, if you're not with me, you're my enemy. Mm. To which Obi-Wan Kenobi responds and says, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Mm.
Notice that to deal in absolutes, to deal with objective truth, is to be a part of the dark side, is to be on the bad side.
Mm.
And in our contemporary culture, the reason why people think that is, as the young girl shows in the interview, that, well, you know, she thinks it's a bad thing to tell somebody is wrong, to tell somebody they're wrong, to be intolerant. So how do we respond to this? Okay, so here are 3 strategies, Mary. Strategy 1 is, at least we want to show that the argument from tolerance is self-defeating, at least for a relativist. So if a person is trying to keep their relativistic position and saying, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to say there's absolute truth there because to do so would be intolerant. Well, I would simply ask the question, is it absolutely true that we should be tolerant? And in order to stick to his argument, your friend has to answer yes. But notice that in as much as he answers yes, it's true that we should be tolerant people, well, then that's at least one absolute truth, right?
Right. So that's one that works for all kind of it's one of the catch-all ones for the relativism at the very basic level of saying if you absolutely believe you have to believe everyone, then that is absolutely something you believe in. You can no longer be a relativist. That
Amen.
Works on so many levels. Right.
That's right. So the relativist can't have both and. They're going to have to choose one or the other.
Mm.
Either choose relativism and reject the objective good of tolerance, or reject the objective good of tolerance and keep in order to keep their relativism. Right.
Right.
But here's a second way in how this argument is self-defeating. It actually undermines tolerance itself. Because what if I say to you, Mary, what if I say, what if someone believes that intolerance is a good thing relative to their system of beliefs or their cultural beliefs? According in the mental framework of relativism, we could not criticize that person who thinks intolerance is a good thing.
Right. You'd have to be tolerant of them. And therefore,
right. We have to be tolerant of their intolerance.
Right. Right?
And so we may very well come to a point where you have a group of people and it's their relative belief that they're going to go and physically coerce people to believe whatever they believe by the sword. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the mental framework of relativism, we couldn't criticize that. So rather than promoting tolerance, relativism actually undermines tolerance.
And this goes back to a point you made, I think, on the first or second objection. That was, I think, something Peter Kreef said, that the relativist cannot say to Hitler, you are wrong to murder. He can only say, well, different strokes, different folks, works for you. Who am I to say it's wrong?
That's right. Different strokes, different folks. And I happen to not like your strokes.
Right.
And that's all the relativist can say. So you could follow it up with this question, Mary. How can relativism promote tolerance when its mental framework allows for the acceptance of an individual's belief that intolerance is a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
So fundamentally, this argument from tolerance is self-defeating for a relativist. Now, here's strategy two.
My favorite, by the way. I love this strategy. It's a good one.
Yes, we have to expose the relativist's misunderstanding of tolerance. Because let's say we're in dialogue, Mary, and you're telling me I'm being intolerant for saying somebody's wrong. So I'm simply going to ask you, okay, just to be on the same page, Mary, are you saying that I'm intolerant for saying somebody's wrong? And then you're going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in order to expose the absurdity of this argument, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say, do we tolerate people who share our own views? Like, do you, a relativist, tolerate another relativist's relativism?
No,
of
I would embrace
not.
It. He'd be my friend.
Yeah,
I wouldn't tolerate
right.
it. I'd celebrate it. That's not tolerance.
That's right. So notice that it's meaningless to speak of tolerance when people agree on something.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tolerate people we agree with. We actually tolerate people we disagree with. And that disagreement necessarily involves acknowledging or claiming that person is wrong and has a flawed opinion about, you know, about reality and about what is true. So notice we're slapped with the label of intolerance for saying somebody is wrong,
mm-hmm.
but yet saying somebody is wrong necessarily belongs to the essence of tolerance.
It's like Princess Bride. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
That's right. So we have to try to expose the absurdity of the argument by showing the meaningless of how they're using the term tolerance. Tolerance is not accepting everyone's opinions as equal and valid.
Right.
Tolerance necessarily involves saying, no, that opinion's wrong, but mm-hmm. I'm going to respect your dignity as a human being and holding to that opinion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this gets to the heart of the issue with the intolerance label, Mary, because people are so hesitant to embrace objective truth or make a claim about objective truth because they fear that to be an absolutist means you're going to like physically coerce somebody into believing what you believe. But that doesn't follow necessarily from the absolute truth itself. Violence follows from a misapprehension of the truth, the objective truth about the nature of the human being, you see, as a free individual being able to exercise freedom. So people should have no fear in making a claim about objective truth, to make an objective truth claim, because violence doesn't necessarily follow from that. And then finally, Mary, we come to strategy three. We need to show how the relativist is inconsistent in applying his understanding of tolerance. Because if we're in a dialogue, Mary, and you tell me, Carlo, you're being intolerant for saying somebody's wrong. So I'm just simply going to ask you, well, Mary, am I wrong for believing other people's beliefs are wrong? Mm-hmm. And in order to stick to your argument, right, you're slapping me with this label of intolerance. You're going to have to say, yeah, Carlo, you're wrong for telling other people they're wrong. And then I would just simply respond and say, well, Mary, aren't you just as intolerant as I am? Because you're telling me I'm wrong.
Yeah, but that's because
other people are wrong.
That's because I'm a 6'4" Chinese woman. So I can.
That's right. So notice how there's a double standard here. The person who slaps the label of intolerance on us is not applying the principle to themselves.
To themselves, right.
You can't get out of the straitjacket of making intellectual judgments. So in as much as you say, I'm intolerant for saying somebody's wrong, you're basically saying I'm wrong, mm-hmm. which means you're being just as intolerant according to your definition
right.
of intolerance. You're being just as intolerant as I am. And so we have to work through these strategies to try to expose the inconsistencies of the arguments that are being put forward in slapping the label of intolerance on us. You know, another good one, Mary, I don't cover this in the book, but another reason why so many are hesitant in embracing objective truth because they think, well, if I say I have the truth, ain't I being arrogant? I mean, isn't it arrogant to say you have the objective truth? Mm-hmm. And my simple response is, well, let me ask you something, Mary. Is it true that it's arrogant to say you have the truth? Because if you think it's true and you really believe that, well, then aren't you saying something is true and thus you're being just as arrogant as I am?
Ooh, the snake swallows its tail. It's too much for my head.
Amen, Mary. You hit the nail on the head. The snake swallows its tail. So, and even, you know, we could go across the, you know, you're guilty of hate speech. You're guilty of bigotry. You're right. being intolerant. You're being arrogant. All of those assertions necessarily are self-refuting because in every single one of those assertions, they're making some sort of objective truth claim. So if anybody said you're being a bigot for making an objective truth claim, well, that's an objective truth claim.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's a claim about objective reality.
Well, and that's a fantastic tool, Carlo, for people to always keep in front of them when they're having these discussions to not accept the premise that someone's throwing at you. Don't defend yourself against being a bigot. Defend the premise of what a bigot is to begin with and how they're able to make that judgment in the first place.
Amen. Every conclusion is based on a premise and we have to identify, okay, what is their conclusion? Now, what premises are they basing their conclusions on and talk about those premises?
Awesome. Carlo, tell our listeners where they can go to find your book and read along with us as we take apart these objections one by one.
They can go to shop.catholic.com and it's right there on the front page. You just click on the banner. And you can also get it on Amazon.
Carla, did you ever watch Pinky and the Brain, the old Animaniacs cartoon from back in the day?
No. I remember. No, I don't.
Oh, you got to look it up. They are mice, but Brain always says to Pinky, the dumb one, Pinky, you are a threat to tolerance. And it's one of the great lines I've carried with me through my life. Carlo, you are not a threat to tolerance. Thank you for coming on. Class is dismissed, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you.